Well, hello, boys and girls, masters of you, and welcome back to another episode. I have an awesome one for you today. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. This is another interview-based podcast, and today I am talking about a topic that I had a look at maybe 10 years ago, and it's one of those that has started to come full circle. It's a topic I really am interested in, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to be implementing a lot of the strategies that Andrew talks about here. So I'm talking to the author, the best-selling author of The Last Law of Attraction. So I'm talking to Andrew Kapp, and Andrew is living in just outside New York in Manhattan. And this is his expertise, and we go into some full detail on what the law of attraction is, what the misconceptions of it is, what the myths of it are. We give you strategies about how you can implement it into your life. We talk about the types of people that won't get it, but maybe can still get it. We talk about how to track it. And I ask him some loads of questions that he found that kind of pushed him a little bit, but also it brought out some really cool content. So I really enjoy this. I really hope you do too. And if you do, then please head on over to review the podcast. Give us a 5-star review. Tell us how much you love listening to these interview-based podcasts. And that way I will continue doing them. Without further ado, let's get into today's episode with Andrew Kapp. Okay, Andrew. Hey, welcome to Mastering You, the Lifestyle Performance Podcast. Thank you so much for coming on. This is awesome. I'm so pleased to talk to you. We've been conversing over email. You're in New York, right?
I'm basically about a half hour outside of Manhattan. And thank you, by the way, for having me. It's a true honor to be here. What I know of you, I'm so excited by the approach that you're taking in life and how you're serving people and how you're reaching them. So I am super pumped and super excited just to be in this conversation with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, you know, without beating around the bush, you are the law of attraction man, right? This is your field house. This is your expertise. And, you know, as per the name of the show, Mastering You, it couldn't be a better topic to discuss, because I don't know about you, but there's a lot of labels of things or strategies that I think often get misconstrued into, and people get different ideas of how you can use something to better yourself. And I've actually got a quick story I'll tell about the law of attraction. The first time I sat down and watched The Secret, when did The Secret come out, Andrew?
If memory serves me right, it was 2006 when they put that out.
Right. Okay.
Six, 14 years? Wow. Time flies.
So I bought the book, but then the movie came out, or I got the movie and I was like, oh, let's watch this. And I told my wife, and within 5 minutes, my wife was like, this is completely tosh. Like, I'm not watching this. And I was like, whoa, let's just watch it. And so it's just one of those things that reminded me, because I was just thinking before we came on about attraction, and you know, they say opposites attract. Yes. And so my wife's a scientist. She's very analytical, logical thinker. And I'm like the slightly on the other end of the scale. I'm like the creative, open-minded, entrepreneurial risk taker. And somehow we come together. But obviously we have different ideas on what, you know, what's right or what's wrong, or what we should have our open-minded to. I just think, look, do you think The Secret had a bad impact more than positive on the law of attraction?
So the way I see it, I mean, it put it in people's awareness in a way that nothing had done before. And I mean, I think, you know, you say, like, you know, people bring meanings to things, like, you know, now the word or the phrase law of attraction, it's a loaded phrase. the way God and love are loaded words. Everyone is bringing their own context and their own meaning to it. And a lot of what I think The Secret kind of got a bad, unfair rap, because people like, oh, it's all about materialism. It's all about being materialistic. It's like, well, they needed a way to communicate through the tangible what this intangible process, so to speak, was. So I'm kind of like on board about defending them, like whether you agree or not with the position that they took. I think it was a way better thing that they got this out to people. I mean, they're certainly way ahead of me in the game in that regard. And just to say this real quick, because I think what your wife is talking about, it's like, it's valid in the sense that, you know, if you've got your own doubts, it's not going to work anyway. And I think someone like you who understands fitness might appreciate this. I've been going on a number of talks where people aren't really on board with law of attraction. I'm like, okay, let's take the intangible away. Let's just talk about working out, all right? And I'm going to give you a very simplified thing here. You're going to be like, dude, this is too simplified. But you work out and you get muscles, right? And it's like, you put this in, you get this out. And I would ask people, okay, I'm going to have two possible explanations as to why you're actually building muscle. Explanation number one is you work out, and when you go to sleep at night, the muscle fairy comes and grows muscles for you. Another explanation is when you're working out, you're putting so much stress on your body and your muscles that they're actually tearing. The little micro tears that are happening through the muscle, and then your body heals itself and responds by filling in those gaps with more muscle fiber. Now, I probably gave a butchered explanation, but it's certainly more scientific. And I would ask you, which of those explanations is the truth? And my answer is, it doesn't matter. What matters is you lifted the weights and you got the muscles. And by that same token, I can give you an explanation of law of attraction, both scientific and unscientific, but what matters is you do these techniques, you do these visualizations, these gratitude exercises, and things happen. I personally don't care why or how it happens, other than explaining to people and helping them that way. All I care about is I put X in and I get Y out.
So that makes perfect sense, because I guess my wife's a scientist, you know, and so a scientist typically want to see the exact data to why something has happened and the research and the testing. And so it makes sense to why someone like myself and you would be more open to, well, if I put this input in, I get this output. I don't really care how it happened. Yeah. I just know that it did. And so,
her curiosity is valid, by the way, just to tell you, like, her curiosity is valid. I mean, we need people in the world doing that. The only thing I would say is the only part where it becomes invalid is if it prevents you from taking advantage of it. But we need to know how things work. That helps us live and it helps us improve and that helps us create wonderful things. It's just, I would caution against letting it stop you from trying something out and learning through your life experience that it works one way or another.
So that brings me on to one of my questions I had, which was, how much does personality types I'm sure you've read Carol Dweck's Mindset, you know, her mindset book, which is basically all about, you know, some people will have a fixed mindset or some people will have a growth mindset. You know, would you say that generally it's growth mindseted people that are more adept to implementing the law of attraction in their life?
Yeah, they're certainly more open, but it also becomes a thing where, and you know, we were talking about this before, not that anyone comes with perspective, but sometimes something happens in your life that kind of knocks you for a loop. And then not that this person was a fixed mindset before, but it certainly shifted where they're going to put their focus. So obviously, you know, the less you are open to this, the less you're going to be able to take advantage of it in an intentional sense, because, you know, law of attraction is working, whether you realize it or not, at least from my perspective, my opinion. My answer is just basically like, if only you can realize that it is working and you have that awareness, all of a sudden, then you could use it more intentionally to your advantage. I'm not interested in convincing people that it works. I'm interested in showing people that are willing to realize that it works, how to utilize it best to their advantage so that they have a happier and more successful life.
Okay, nice. So another question that interlocks with that really is, I've been studying kind of neuroscience and the mindset for many years, but more so in the last 4 or 5 years. I am interested to where this interlocks with psychology and neuroscience and where the crossover happens. I mean, one of the acronyms that we kind of use a lot at LPT, it's one of the ones that I learned through one of my own mentors, Dax Moy, is AIR. So attention, intention, repetition. Mm-hmm. So attention, really, obviously, where is your attention? What are you thinking about? And intention, how much intention are you putting into those thoughts? And repetition really is the catalyst for developing the neuroplasticity, if you like, to make things a habit, you know? Mm-hmm. And so complete transparency, this is why I wanted to get you on. I haven't studied law of attraction, but I have studied the brain. And my thinking around law of attraction, very much in a simplified way, is, you know, even someone that is skeptical, it makes complete sense to me. And I think for most people, if you have your attention on something, if you're thinking about something, mm-hmm. and you're putting intention into it, you know, the outcomes are going to be, they have to be more in alignment with that, right? Otherwise, how can you, if you're thinking about eating takeaway, the chances are, or fast food, you've probably been thinking about that first. You're not just going to order it without thinking about it, right? So, just going back to that question, where does psychology meet the law of attraction? Is there like a sweet spot or?
Oh. Can you hear me okay?
I just lost you there. Okay. Yeah. So I'll edit that bit out. So where does the law of attraction meet kind of psychology or neuroscience? Is there a sweet spot?
Yeah, so I'm glad you're bringing this up. And full disclosure, what I'm about to explain here, I don't even put this in my book just because I keep it very strictly law of attraction. But I'm a bit of a renegade in the sense that for me, it's not just, it's all law of attraction, law of attraction, law of attraction. So let's use an example because that always helps people process. Let's say that you want to get a job promotion, right? And you're focusing on it every day. Maybe you're visualizing it. Maybe you're writing, you're going through gratitude exercises. You're doing whatever you can. Now, a typical law of attraction explanation is your brain is going to, you are going to emit this signal to the universe, this frequency, and energetically the universe is going to catch it and match it. And then all of a sudden it's going to manifest in your physical reality. Now, I will leave that open as a possibility, but not a complete one, because I also, you're right, there is a psychology here. I believe that in cooperation with the universe, your subconscious mind is a supercomputer. So when you're doing those visualizations, it's not just about reaching out to the universe energetically, even though you do. It's also sending instructions to your subconscious mind, which knows how to figure out how to get you what you want. So for example, if you've really been visualizing getting that job promotion, your subconscious mind is going to take the wheel. All of a sudden, you're going to be carrying yourself differently. You're going to be maybe standing up straighter. Maybe there's going to be a confidence in your voice. You're going to be making more eye contact. You're going to be doing all these subtle things that you don't realize that you're doing that are impressing the right people in the right way. Because again, your subconscious mind, it is more brilliant than you could ever imagine. And it is moving the pieces in place. All of a sudden, you don't care working on a Saturday, or all of a sudden you have a brilliant idea that's going to impress the president of the company. Whatever's going to happen, yeah, it's the universe, but it's also your subconscious mind fixing out these details so that poof, all of a sudden you've got that job promotion. All of a sudden you've got the money for that car. All of a sudden you're in a conversation with the right real estate agent who's going to get you that house at a way better rate than you ever could have imagined that you can now afford all of a sudden. Like, these things happen. I think there's a combination of your subconscious mind, which is a part of the universe, which is a part of you, and reaching out into the universe. And it's kind of like this thing that I couldn't even explain the percentages. Again, I know that I lift weights, I get muscles. So there's a piece of that in there, especially it's important for people that might not be on board with law of attraction, but I couldn't tell you what is the most, the exact numbers on how it plays out.
Mm, interesting. Yeah, I did a little mini podcast episode just prior to this, and just talking about limiting beliefs and just the subject of the normal, because I don't know if in America, if it's as, I'm sure it is, that this term, the new normal, is being used a lot. It kind of got me thinking, you know, like a lot of people have, obviously they hold limiting beliefs, which can be developed from childhood and whatever experiences in their life. And, you know, if someone had told us what life would be like and what would be happening in the world right now, say 12 months ago, they'd think that you're like crazy, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah.
And so it kind of just showed me, you know, you can't underestimate what change can be possible. And so, just to get back to that whole point of limiting beliefs and you know, breaking those down, I kind of just want to interlock this with one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on the show, because this isn't just something that you have learned, and become an expert in. You actually applied this to your own life and kind of transformed your own life as a result of using the law of attraction. So if you don't mind just taking our listeners back to the start of how this came about, or how did all this personal development journey start?
Well, for me, like, it was really about a business that I started close to 20 years ago. And I think, you know, entrepreneurs can understand, you know, when you have to kill your own dinner, so to speak, and you've got to make sales and things like that, you find yourself like researching, like, how do I do better in business? And you inevitably find yourself in terms of like mindset and things of that nature. And basically, I think we're talking about this before we started recording, like, I went down a rabbit hole of just, you know, finding just, you know, Think and Grow Rich, the book, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself by Chad Helmsteller. And I think it's one of those things where Law of Attraction was just one of those pieces I stumbled on that really resonated with me. And I wasn't good at it, by the way, if, you know, put good at it in quotes. I had successes and failures. And the reason that I succeeded and I failed is because I never went all in with it. I had hesitations, I had doubts. I would get on a roll, I would see things happening, and I would stop, which I can go into a whole explanation on why we all do that. But then a moment came where I basically had to close my business and end a relationship all in the same week. And it was rough, and the decision was made for me. We'll put it that way. It was very, on both counts. And it was really rough, and it ended in horrible, horrible way. And I'm like, listen, I've been succeeding and failing with this, and life is not so good right now. I'm just going to get stubborn and indignant, and I'm going to go all in. And I basically went all in with methods that I already knew that I didn't make up myself, and it wasn't my book. I knew these methods. I tweaked them to make them work for me, because that's the key. You got to make sure that it works for you so you can do it consistently. And then just every single day for 5 minutes, you do a gratitude exercise or visualization or whatever. And I'll tell you, you know, heartbreak is not an easy thing to get over, but 2 weeks later, I felt better. 3 months later, I'm in a happier, healthier relationship. 4 months later, I'm making more money than ever before in my life at that point. And 6 months later, my life is completely different. I'm in the best shape of my life. I'm waking up grateful. Like, everything has just changed. And 6 months to some people might seem short, some might seem long. But again, it wasn't like day one and then like nothing happens, and then on the 6th month it happened. It's like, it was a progression. But the things that changed, and that was the only real change that I made that was just clear and consistent, it convinced me that whether this works or not, whether it really is about the universe or not, these methods are working. So I'm just going to like ride this wave and stick with it. And, you know, I've had days, you know, periods where I'd stop it and start again, but I've never looked back in the sense that I know that when I do this consistently, wonderful, not good, wonderful things happen.
Okay. So you mentioned that, you know, some people stop, and, I'm also interested in why is it often, because I've done quite a few of these podcasts now, it seems to be often we seem to have to go to the dark first to find the light.
Right.
Why is that? Why do you think that is, Andrew?
So your wife might not like how I use these terms, because I kind of phrase things, psychologists won't be down with this, but there's three minds. There's the conscious, the subconscious, and then there's also the ego. Now, the ego is stronger than the conscious mind, but the subconscious is way more powerful than all of them. And this is important, because the ego, and I'm using the word ego, people might not say that that's scientifically accurate, but we'll just say ego. The ego, that part of your mind, has one job, and that job is to keep you alive. That means if you're miserable right now, if you hate your job, if you hate your relationship, if you hate your life, if you're out of shape, if you're 30 pounds overweight, but your ego's like, well, you're alive, it does not want to mess with the probabilities that any change, positive or negative, is going to mess with that. Because think about it, all you want is more money. The way your ego sees is like, well, what if more money means family comes out of the woodwork and tries to take it from you? You want to be famous. Okay, what if being famous means you get a stalker? you want to lose weight. Well, what if losing weight, you dehydrate and kill yourself? Like all these different things, right? It'll come up with any excuse because all it knows right now is you are alive and it wants to keep the status quo. It's not interested in your satisfaction. It's not interested in your comfort. It's not interested in your fulfillment. And by the way, it loves you. It's not doing this maliciously. It is scared. And that's why your conscious mind, you can't will yourself to go to the gym every single day, why that becomes a struggle, so to speak. It's when the instructions get to the subconscious mind and you see results and it's affirmed and it's locked in place and the subconscious mind is like a grizzly bear to the ego, that's when things happen. And that's why I preach methods that bypass the ego and go to the subconscious mind, because that's what it's really all about.
On the subconscious, is it right roughly around 90% of our actions, behaviors come from the root is the subconscious?
I would say probably even like a little bit more, maybe 92, maybe 93, but I'm guessing, to be honest, but like based on research.
And so just to explain the subconscious mind, you know, because that's a big stat, isn't it? Like that, it's almost like, wow, that can really blow you away. 93% is of your actions and behaviors are coming from a state of mind where you're not actually conscious. It's crazy. So you know, we're talking environments, we're talking upbringing, we're talking past experiences, we're talking the stories that we tell ourselves. Am I right? What else? What else builds the subconscious?
Well, I mean, the biggest challenge we have in many ways regarding improving our life in any way, shape, or form is you don't know what you don't know. And that's why when people hear 90+% for the first time, all they know is their conscious awareness, and that feels like 100% to them. But the thing is, when you're a kid, if you flipped somebody's ear, right, and a parent like overreacted and saw it and just like slapped you upside your head and it's just like was this jolt, all of a sudden that was an imprint on your mind of a fear-based thing. And is the fear that if you flick someone's ear there's a lot of pain, or is the fear that pain comes out of nowhere from a big hand out of the sky? There's no way of predicting how your brain responds and interprets things that are going on. And that's why there's so much difficulty here. We don't know a lot of the limits that we're carrying inside of us. And I have a different school of thought where I think it's possible to go in and consciously fix them, but it's a lot of heavy lifting and it's unnecessary. And a better idea, because we want to be happy while we're doing this. And, you know, you only live once. And, you know, if you want something, if this is going to take 10 years, you might as well enjoy the 10 years. If it's going to take 10 days, you might as well enjoy the 10 days. So I think it's about, you know, understanding that you're never going to understand all the different pieces that have impacted your subconscious mind. But what you can do is you can engage in a process or some kind of routine where you're at least instilling more confidence, or you're at least like programming it to get past that limit without knowing it. So you're scared of heights because when you were a kid, somebody pushed you off a 2-foot thing, which 2 feet isn't big, but when you're a kid, it feels huge. It's about in your brain, if you're visualizing yourself having fun skydiving, it's going to deprogram that fear in a way that you couldn't consciously access it in most cases.
Yeah, and the childhood experiences and traumas are the big ones. Would you say?
Up to 7 years old, specifically those first 7 years, you're just consuming, you're just learning, you're just observing, you're just processing in ways that you don't even remember. Like if you can go back and remember, like me, I vaguely remember thinking I was a genius. Like I think 7-year-old me wasn't a lot more intelligent. Wasn't a lot wiser, but certainly more intelligent and sharper. You know, like 7-year-old me was more aware. That's the word I'm looking for. I could see things. I can see the whole picture in front of me, even if I couldn't verbally articulate it. Whereas we learn over life, we are programmed to kind of let those awarenesses go because they're too woo-woo, or because they're too silly, or because why trust your gut when the chalkboard says 2+2=4? And 2+2 does equal 4 in the context of math, but it also equals 16 on a different level that we're not taught to think about.
Sure. So we'll get to some strategies to, obviously we know that the subconscious is super important. What about going back to the ego then? So if would you say that's the number one thing keeping you from making the law of attraction work for you then?
For the most part, yes. For the most part, it's scared. And because you consciously engage in these processes, it wants to stop you, and it's going to stop at nothing because, again, it loves you, but it's scared.
Okay. So how do we manage that better? Mm.
So the whole piece about this, this is actually the key, and this is why people stop and start and things like that. So again, we'll go back to a fitness example. This actually, this is a version of what I put in the introduction of my book. Imagine, there's reasons why we don't go to the gym, at least reasons we tell ourselves, right? Because, you know, it's painful. What if I do the exercise wrong? Do I worry about getting injured? I just don't have time, blah, 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 right? What if somebody walked up to you and said, listen, I've got free ice cream and it's magical ice cream. And there's it's got none of the negative qualities of ice cream, but all the positive. And all you need is a spoonful a day. And that spoonful will magically transform your body. You'll get the lean muscle that you want. You'll lose the weight. You'll get healthy cardiovascularly, like everything. This spoonful of ice cream will fix everything. Now, if the spoonful of ice cream is going to be your fix, and let's pretend you love ice cream. If not, just say cookies and say cotton candy, whatever. We'll go with ice cream. If a spoonful of ice cream is going to do what I want it to do, there is no way I am screwing this up because I enjoy it. And that's the key. The key is oftentimes working out, people don't enjoy it. Law of attraction exercises, people don't enjoy it. They don't enjoy it because they're trying to force the universe to do it a certain way. They're trying to force visualizations. It feels too much pressure. So the real answer here is figuring out or designing methods or exercises that you enjoy. And that way it becomes a choice rather than a chore. That way it becomes something that you can do, like a spoonful of ice cream that's easy and fun that you look forward to, that doesn't feel like something that you have to do, but something that you get to do. The key is to work with your psychology and understand that you're gonna have certain resistance and say, okay, well, let me lean in the direction of my preferences and use that to my advantage. Because, you know, like, who doesn't want to go out on a date with the man or woman of their dreams? That's something that's not a chore. That's something they get to do. It's something they look forward to, just the way you want to make these things fun that they look forward to. That's the key to it.
Right. Okay. Okay, great. So that explains that. So how do we start the journey to, if this is the first time anyone's even heard something, you know, maybe this is the first time someone's heard of the term, the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. Probably not if they found this podcast, but where do they start? Well, what's a really easy kind of practice or strategy for someone to start? And I have got a follow-up question to that as well. Is what I'd love to know is, like anything that we try in life, we only start to genuinely believe in it once we start to see the results ourselves. Right. So I'm keen to know how you specifically were, like, when you first started to do this stuff, and you'd had a really bad time, relationship breakdown, business, but then you started to implement it in your life. How quickly did you see the results, and how were you measuring that this is actually working?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. So, well, first I'll try to, wow, so much there I want to answer for you. So first of all, good news is, you know, people can't keep this up for a year, but they can keep it up for 5 days. Meaning in the first 5 days, we're not really worried about whether we enjoy it or not, or just worried about giving it a shot. And we could always give it an opportunity. And like, to your point, because you were asking, you know, what happened, like, my brain's, oh, wow, it went so many different directions when you asked that.
Sorry. I complicated that question. So yeah, just the first bit was just, how did you know that this was really, this is like, oh, I'm okay. Something.
Yeah. So for me, I got lucky. Well, again, for me, I tried it out and I succeeded and I failed a lot, right? But see, there's a hidden gem there. I failed, but I succeeded. There was already proof in the pudding. Even though I wasn't doing it consistently, there was already a demonstration of success. Again, if people want to lift weights, like, they know whether or not they can will themselves to the gym every day is one question, but they do know that they are in the gym every day, there's gonna be a result, whether it's 7 days or 7 months. Like, there's no doubting that part. So it really comes down to, like, again, making it fun. Like, for me, when I hit that point, again, I felt better in 2 weeks, relationship 3 months, money 4 months, better life 6 months. I was stubborn. I was so upset by the way things had gone in my life. You know, negative experiences can be a really good motivator just to pull yourself out of it. That's why a lot of times people have to hit bottom, because it's only then that they're like, you know, screw it, I'll watch my language. I am doing this, like, one way or another. So for me, it was more about, you know, again, being strategic in picking things that I just at least enjoyed a little bit. And again, in the beginning, I was so stubborn. I didn't have to worry about enjoying it. I was motivated enough to experiment and try different ones and discover which of them I enjoyed the most. Because like, you know, you do something for 20 days and you do a different combination, you're going to figure out which ones you like and which ones you don't like. Just like you go to a restaurant and you try different things on the menu. You might not like the scallops at this restaurant, but you might love the shrimp. And you're only going to know by going through the menu. And again, in the beginning, you're hungry. So you're going to try all the different things. I know I'm hopping around, but to also I want to address your question about like a good method for people to use. And by the way, anything I don't cover, please feel free to pull me back. But a method that like my favorite method actually for my book, I call it the time-lapse method. And it's a gratitude exercise. So what you do is you're going to write down 15 things. Five of the things are things from your past that you're grateful for. Five of them are present things that you're grateful for. And five are future things that you want. But the key is you're going to write them all in the present tense as if you have them all right now. And then you're going to jumble up the list. You're going to, you know, you're going to have first a past thing and then a future and then a present and then the present, another past and the future. It's going to be this big mix. And the whole strategy behind this is 2/3 of that list have actually happened and you actually are grateful for. And we can't really downshift our mood. So when you go through the list item by item by item by item by item, you are carrying the same level of confidence and certainty and gratitude when you're reading the future things, just as much as when you're reading the past and present. So you end up giving yourself 5 or 10 minutes of this fun experience where you get to be thankful and feel gratitude and feel joy in your body and in your mind for wonderful things that have happened in your life. Like you're married, right? So you can be grateful right now for your wife, but also if that's also on the list of like a house that's twice the size of the one that you want and that's jumbled in there, you're going to carry this. You're basically tricking your vibration into believing that more so. And if people don't believe in law of attraction, you're tricking your subconscious mind into believing it so that it helps things speed up and get better. And again, it's fun. And that's the key to it, that you can do it every day and enjoy it and not feel like a chore.
Okay, so is the idea that you do a different list of 15 each day, or is it that you just review the list of 15, or you can kind of mix it up?
Thank you for asking. And this is the beauty, Matt. It's up to you. You can keep repeating the same list until it starts to get boring. You can try to mix it up every single day. The key is to just experiment and tweak and have fun, almost like see yourself as a scientist, and give yourself the permission to stick with one thing forever, or to mix it up, or to mix, like, let's change it every week. Let's change it every month. There is, the beauty of this is there's no right way and there's no perfect way, which is why people struggle. People think there's some perfect way to visualize. There's some perfect way to feel gratitude. There's some perfect way that they have to feel the exact emotions when they really only have to feel a, then if I got lost on the recording, if someone's looking for a sure way of like doing it that they don't have to worry about for themselves, you know, just do one way for a week and then switch it up and then write a new list and see how it feels.
Yeah, I think anyone listening to this that's kind of considering doing that exact practice and trying it, even if they think it's a bit of woo-woo for them, I think it just comes back to like one of the things that I've talked a lot about on this on Mastering You is having underlying principles that you're following. And you know, I think it's the same with the law of attraction as it is with diet, as it is with exercise. You know, you can do 100 different types of workouts. There are, you know, people can get results in terms of diets and lose weight. You know, the underlying principle with weight loss is there a calorie deficit? You know, it's one simple principle, but you can achieve that calorie deficit with any kind of different workouts or, you know, diet plans. And I guess the same thing, you know, is with law of attraction is that essentially it comes back to where is my attention? Like what?
Yes.
But there was one word that you mentioned, and I had this in one of my questions because it's something that I haven't really kind of studied, and it's probably a word that maybe some people hear and like just glosses over them. Vibration. So how does this, what when you say, you know, your vibration, what is it specifically, what does that mean?
Yeah, sure. First of all, how cool is it that we're having a conversation about law of attraction and it took us this long to even mention that? And I bring that up because even though I'm going to explain it, people don't need to know. Again, people just need to try, you know, and do methods and see for themselves. But to answer the thing about vibration is basically we, like everything in the universe is energy, and everything, including us and our thoughts, is vibrating at a frequency. So when I say vibration, I'm just talking about the frequency by which we vibrate. So like right now, I basically, oversimplifying it, I have the vibration of someone who's on a podcast with you and getting to talk to you, which I'm really enjoying, and getting to reach your audience. You know, you have the vibration of someone who has an awesome podcast. I assume 10 years ago, you didn't have that vibration, but you are emitting that signal now. You basically are vibrating at that reality, and that reality is being mirrored back to you, not just vibrationally, not just energetically, but physically in that more dense vibration in three-dimensional reality.
Wow. Yeah. Good answer. Good answer. Love it. So that's vibration. What is manifesting?
Yeah, manifesting. And it's so funny. Every time I hear these words, my brain instantly hears all the people that actually like argue. Like people argue, by the way, like gratitude versus appreciation, which I think is funny. All it means is just like be happy with what you have. It doesn't matter which one. Manifestation, I guess the way I would put it, even though some people disagree, is just basically the physical immersion. I'm using the wrong word, but the physical incoming of something into physical reality. So again, you're thinking about your job every single day. You're thinking about the promotion. The day that you get your actual promotion is the day that it's completely manifested.
Nice. Okay, just going back to the vibration then, because you hear, one of the things I've heard in the past is someone can have a high or a low vibration. So that could get confused with high or low mood, right? And that, those are two different things, I'm guessing.
This, by the way, is one of the biggest difficulties people have around any self-improvement, but I guess particular to law of attraction because of this. There's language and there's interpretation of the language, because different people interpret what high vibration and low vibration really means. The way I interpret it, high vibration is something that's more of like a positive thing that's inviting good things, whereas low vibration is basically inviting negativity. But on a scientific standpoint, I guarantee you that high and low vibration mean different things. And scientifically, low basically means denser or more physical reality. And that's certainly not the way I would describe it for law of attraction, because you want to invite things into physical reality, like on a more high vibration standpoint. If that makes any sense. I kind of jumbled
that. No, it does. Yeah. So let's just say someone has said, right, okay, Andrew, I'm gonna take your word for it. I'm gonna try, write down my 15 things and and going back to like the fitness or weight loss analogy, obviously someone will be able to test something's working each week by that they'll step on the scales or they'll measure their waist. How would they be able to kind of like measure the progress that they're making utilizing something like that? Apart from obviously just good things happening in their life, I suppose that would be a big metric.
Yeah, so what you answered the question in a way better way than I ever could have, but I'm gonna try to match that, because you're right. Nobody can say with any certainty, whether you're talking about fitness or you're talking about law of attraction, how long one person might go through before they get the result, because different people have even a different interpretation or metric of a result, right? So this brings me to a thing I call manifestational raindrops. And okay. Everyone's been outside where, it's kind of overcast but nothing's happening. And all of a sudden they feel like that tingle, the little specks of water just touching their skin, just touching the hairs in their skin, but they don't see anything. But then a minute later, they see drops. They see like a little bit better. And then more than, basically it goes from zero to downpour in just a couple of minutes, right? And the thing I'm saying is, at that moment that you feel just the slight little specks, even though you don't see anything, even though your clothes aren't wet, like the storm was inevitable. And the thing is, if you start lifting weights or getting in fitness and you're going to continue it, just that feeling a little bit better that a week later, that is a raindrop that's telling you that the storm is inevitable. And the only thing that's going to keep you from enjoying the storm, so to speak, is if you hold up an umbrella of resistance, which in law of attraction terms is doubting it and not letting it in. In lifting weight terms, is basically not sticking with the program or like half-heartedly doing it, not really lifting weights to actually kind of like going through the motions. But when you're actually doing what you're doing, you're going to get these raindrops, these indicators that, listen, this storm is inevitable. Those little specks are going to turn into larger drops, are going to turn into pellets of rain. You just got to keep doing what you're doing. In that case, standing outside. In this case, lifting weights or doing law of attraction methods.
Nice. Okay, I've got to ask. So, give me another strategy. You've given us the gratitude, the gratitude. What other strategies do you? Are there any you personally use, like daily or?
Yeah. So from a daily standpoint, I don't use any of these daily anymore because I always like mix it up, but I use these. So like my daily routine, and then I'll give you a good method. I actually have a friend where basically we are responsible for sending a message of gratitude to one another, where I'll record things I'm grateful for and send it to him, and likewise. And there's like a social pressure to keep ourselves accountable, but we feel great leaving that message. That's the thing I do every day, no matter what. But I will do like that, the time lapse and anything else from my book on a regular basis. To give you another method, so here's the thing. This is an answer to the fact that a lot of times people, a big law of attraction challenge for them is they can't make themselves feel exactly what it feels like to win the lottery, or exactly what it feels like to get that car, or to score that date, or whatever it might be. So what you basically have to do is you have to figure out a way to remove that pressure on yourself, because you're never going to feel exactly that way. And that there's a beauty to that. The fact that you're not going to feel exactly that way means you have permission to feel generally what it might feel like. And a good visualization exercise I teach, I call it the 10 minutes ago method. And that's basically where you visualize yourself 10 minutes after what you wanted actually happened. Because like 10 minutes after you got the news of a lottery ticket win, no one knows if they're still going to be jumping for joy or if they're going to be calmed down a little bit, if they already called their family, meaning you have permission to feel any kind of emotion that you want. You're giving yourself permission to visualize it in a more realistic way without forcing yourself to have to feel it a certain way for it to work. So by saying like, okay, imagine myself 10 minutes after I got whatever news I wanted, what is that like? Am I on the phone with somebody? Am I just like sitting on the couch taking it in? Am I writing an email? Or am I going on social media to brag about it on Facebook? Like, what am I doing? And by answering that question and visualizing that, again, they're accessing their subconscious mind, which is doing its own thing and accessing the universe vibrationally. And they're inviting more of what they want in a much lower pressure way.
Nice. When you sort of sharing that, it so many similes with, you know, what we do at LPT and helping people, you know, change their life or transform their body. Obviously, you know, with weight loss and fitness, people want the results fast. And, you know, same if they're hearing, you know, these ideas of you can manifest things and you can increase your vibration and you can, you know, transform your career just by thinking positive thoughts. I guess would you say like one of the biggest challenges a lot of people have is you know, we live in a world today where everything's kind of like instant. You know, I can share you a link and we can be talking, you can be in New York, I can be in the UK and we can be talking like this. It's just live and it's crazy and it's fantastic technology. But then you've got the other extreme where, you know, people can click one button, they can have parcels sent to their house. And it's kind of, have we been programmed to think that everything can be happening like this, like that fast?
We've been unintentional. I mean, I don't think it was an intentional thing, but by nature of progress of human civilization, we have been programmed into instant gratification. And, you know, it's been about, I don't know, 15 years since I've watched MTV, but I remember a show that they used to have. I don't even remember the name of the show, where some kid would want something to work in their life. So they bring an expert in and like 30 days later, apparently like they finally got the prom date or they finally got the body they want. It's like, no, you didn't. And inevitably in those shows, they're almost like they failed, they quit on their coach, and then they're backwards rationalizing why it's somebody else's fault. And that's another way of saying like, listen, it's very easy to want perfection and instant gratification because we're surrounded by it. But I would say, listen, maybe you have to wait an extra month for your promotion, but you don't have to wait an extra month to experience joy and fulfillment. And that's the key. You're going to basically use joy as your strategy. Like the thing about lifting weights is like me, and I've had moments where I've been like really in shape and I'm on top of everything. And then like I take 3 weeks off, it's hard for me to get back into it. But when I'm working out or when I've done that, I would visualize like light coming on my body and basically like my body just like responding. And like, I would visualize like the muscles, like just basically receiving all this healing and all this energy and all this growth. And it was basically a fun, joyful experience. The thing is, because we're not going to get oftentimes the result right away. We want to strategically find a way to enjoy the moment while we're doing the processes that are going to invite those things, whether you're lifting weights or you're doing a law of attraction exercise.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. We have to go into any of these, you know, these processes just knowing that, you know, our human brain is different to the internet, and we're not going to be able to have that instant. I mean, maybe sometimes you will, like if you do a gratitude. I mean, it's something that I have practiced, maybe not so much recently, but I've gone in and out of times when we've shared different gratitude journal ideas with our members in the past. And it definitely can take you from a state of anxiety and stress to a state of just feeling good. And that can happen literally within a space of 30 seconds or a minute, right? Which is, that is pretty instant. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, the joy can be instant. But also sometimes people they'll finally try it. And they'll get that boom of emotions like 30 seconds in. And then the next day they'll try to do it again and it won't be the same way. And they'll be like, oh, this doesn't work. It's like, listen, the reason that was such a shock to you was because you went 15 years without ever feeling it. The next day it might feel that just as good, or it might be more subtle. You got to give yourself permission to understand that the level of joy you feel, it's going to oscillate. It's going to get bigger and smaller. It's going to be more pronounced, less pronounced. The key is just to enjoy for whatever it is, however long it takes, each day and each moment, and to revel in the variety. Same with working out. You know, maybe you get so good. I mean, you're more of an expert by far than me on this, but the way I understand is sometimes people will change exercises because their muscles have adapted and you're not getting as much impact with that motion anymore. So you try a different motion to work on a different muscle group or from a different angle to get it to go. It's about the variety. You want to learn to enjoy the variety and the ups and not the downs, but you know, the ups as they come, whether they're really high up or just kind of up.
Yeah. Well, obviously it's just conditioning and you know, our bodies, particularly physically, we can become conditioned quite quickly to an exercise. But I guess mentally, if you're practicing some of these strategies, then maybe you're doing the 15 gratitude list regularly, and maybe you need something actually like a new exercise, like something that's going to challenge you a bit more. And I'm guessing that a lot of these strategies are in your book, right?
Yeah, book's got, I think, like 19 or 20.
Wow.
And like the whole point is variety. Like the thing is, any one method, whether it's my book or another book, any one method that you enjoy is going to work. You don't need the variety. The variety is because people need variety. It's because people might just want to switch from a gratitude exercise to a scripting exercise, to a visualization one. Like the thing about the time-lapse method is it's wonderful, but some people's ego will rationalize that they don't have the time for it. I'm like, okay, well, here's a different method. If you've got to do it in your car when you're driving, you have to pay attention to the road. Like there's a method for every single situation to guarantee that you have something that you can do every single time, no matter what.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. I've got this new theory that all of the things that we generally think that we haven't got the time for are probably things that we have they're the most important things that we actually haven't got the time not to do, because it's like, if you haven't got the time to work out, or if you haven't got the time to eat well, if you haven't got the time to think about your future, to work on your personal development, then by default, you're probably getting less time overall. Your life expectancy is probably going to decrease. Mm-hmm. it's a weird kind of dichotomy. So just going, you know, just finishing up, I really appreciate your time and sharing all of these awesome strategies. And what was it that got you to sit down and decide, you know what, I'm going to take all of this and write a book? Was it just because of the massive impact it had on your life, Andrew?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, that big epiphany with, you know, with the breakup and the business, I mean, that happened like 12 years ago. It basically just occurred to me in 2018 because I was trying to decide like what my next business venture would be. And I like to think that I know about a lot of things, but I'm bored speaking about them. I'm like, why am I bored? And for whatever reason, I decided like, let me just be bold and try to make a genuine impact on the world rather than do something half-heartedly. So this is basically my way of like, listen, I know what it's like to succeed and fail. If I can articulate it in a very useful way this will hopefully help people do it in the same way. So I basically just took the plunge and decided to be brave enough to put myself out there in this specific thing. I was just inspired one day. I didn't even question. I'm like, okay, this is the next thing. I'm going to go with it, and I'm going to go full tilt.
Nice. Really inspiring. And how long did it take you?
Oh, you know, it was a fast process. Basically, 9.5 weeks.
Wow. Like, that's so impressive.
I spent about a month like just putting down random notes, and then 9.5 weeks crafting the book, because it was basically an act of inspiration. And the thing is, okay, so I'm glad, you know, something like when you asked me that, my brain hesitated. It took 9.5 weeks to type. It took like 15 years to write, because I'm drawing on the very first experience, the very first success, and the very first failure that I had when I first learned this. This is basically 15 years in the making, in the sense of succeeding and failing and catching myself in my own traps and how I've held myself in the past, how I held myself back in the past, so that I can prevent myself and other people from doing that in the future.
I guess for anyone, we can go into some of the success stories before we finish up. I'd love to hear some of them. I'm guessing another big obstacle, or maybe just a bit of self-awareness people need to think about is just the idea that you, with the law of attraction and all of the how can I put this? I'm a bit of a blank there. But when you're wanting to have something so bad, and you're forcing it, that's almost, as soon as you start to feel that you're forcing it, that's a sign that that's going to kind of hold you back, right?
Yeah, well, oftentimes if you really want too much, so this goes back to emotions, which we never talked about. Like, good emotions means what you want is on the way, and bad emotions means you're holding it back. So when you want something so bad that it's just really upsetting you, that's basically, you're not focusing on the thing, you're focusing on the lack of the thing. And focusing on the lack of the thing is going to reinforce lack of the thing. So it becomes a thing where, like, let's say, here's where it actually gets funny. Let's say I desperately want a girlfriend, like finally once and for all. And I'm doing these methods, it's driving me crazy. Maybe for a month, I'm not even going to do methods about love and romance. I'm going to do methods about my money and my health. Because the thing about it is, feeling good invites it. Like, you already did the work of wishing it and wanting it, and the universe already knows. So as long as you feel good, whether it's thinking about that thing or thinking about something else, you are going to go invite something in. So if you're feeling too much stress and pressure, it might be a good idea to continue to use the methods, but on a different area of your life, just to ensure that you're feeling good and happy and joyful each day, even for just for 5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. So that makes more sense. I was trying to get in my head about what state of mind you need to be in, because having sort of studied neuroscience and studied stress and what we call threat. So that's like the terminology of stress when you're looking at it from a neuroscientific point of view, is what is the threat happening here? And often that can switch off the prefrontal cortex, and that you're no longer operating from a kind of logical thought process. You're operating from more of a kind of reptilian animal brain, monkey brain process. I'm trying to get in my head the practice of doing this, could that put you into a state of calmness, executive minds, or did you have to be careful that if you're feeling anxiety? I mean, I'm just thinking about the way things are at the moment. So many people in the world are really obviously, you know, in bad place or suffering, or they've just lost their job, or there could be someone watching this and they're, you know, the similar situation to yourself when you started this journey. Like, I mean, apparently divorce rates have gone through the roof, you know. Obviously people are losing their jobs all over the world, and the idea of law of attraction would probably sound really good right now for many people, right? That to turn things around. But at the same time, you know, can it be used as something that will calm them and get them focused, or, you know,
So a key distinction to make, I'm glad you brought this up, is because it would be unfair for me to tell people you could feel good 24 hours a day. I mean, you could, but it's unfair for me to say that. The thing is, in times like these, there's going to be points of stress in your day. What you're really doing is basically the way we watch a movie to distract ourselves, or we play a game to distract ourselves, or we watch a TV show or whatever, you basically want to engage in this method for 5 minutes a day where you're just giving yourself a break. This is your saying, like, you know what? I will feel anxiety about this in 10 minutes, but for now, I'm just going to choose to put my focus someplace else because I deserve it. I'm worth it. With everything going on this year, I deserve to feel good for at least 5 minutes a day. So I'm taking this time for myself. I'm giving myself permission to push that on the other end. And what they don't realize is strategically, positive thoughts are hundreds, if not thousands of times more powerful than negatives, meaning those 5 minutes a day are basically going to be more powerful than the rest of the day where you're feeling bad. And eventually it's going to overtake it. It's going to catch up. But until it catches up, since there's, you know, at least from, a standpoint of how it appears to be, it's like, well, we can't dig our way out of this. But what you can do is you can do this 5 minutes a day and it will dig you out for you. And then all of a sudden the job opportunity will come, or you'll have a brilliant business idea, or you'll write a book in 9.5 weeks. You know, like, first of all, like, for anyone that's had difficulty, like, as long as you've been, you know, as long as you've been eating and you have food on the table, if you've been stuck at home doing nothing and worrying, why not use that time to your advantage of either looking for jobs or building your resume or creating a book or a video program or starting up a YouTube channel, like maybe taking opportunities. Again, that's easier said than done. And some people that does not apply at all, but there are certain people that they're just sitting around being worried and not doing anything else. Like, you could be worried while actually taking forward action. And then you might look back on this time where you would never wish this on anyone, but you were grateful that you took the opportunity to build something in your life that ended up bearing fruit for you.
Yeah. And I like to think that right now, or over the last 3 or 4 months, over the next few years, we're going to be hearing stories of people that have been doing exactly that, you know, and we're going to be hearing lots of success stories. And as much as there's lots of negativity, I really truly believe that we are going to be hearing some really cool success stories. I think, I don't know about you, I think this is quite a pivotal time in our history where there is a massive shift happening to all aspects of life, how we work, you know, how we look at things. And yeah, maybe some negative, but I think a lot of positive as well. I guess the one thing I'd probably say to anyone that's still a little bit on the fence, a little bit skeptical, is, you know, anything that you try, like you said, it may work and then it may not work. Like, nothing's black and white. And a lot of people aren't aware of confirmation bias either, are they? So, you know, you can unconsciously not realize that actually you're waiting for it to not work. and you know, it could work. And you'd be like, oh, wow, this is really good. And then you have a really bad day. And then you say, oh, this never worked. Like, you know.
Yeah, so certain people would rather be correct and miserable than wrong and happy. And, you know, it's a very important thing, because like me, I would be wrong every day of the week if it means I'm happy. I'm good with that. So it's something to consider. Confirmation bias it's so funny, because these are things that, you know, they're real pieces of the equation. Like, law of attraction is law of attraction, but who you are and what you bring to it is key. And that's why there is, like, confirmation bias, psychology, things we experienced as a kid, they have an impact over law of attraction, because they have an impact over how we approach it. And the key thing is, like, to say, listen, whatever's going on, let me just give this a chance. I don't care when it works or how it works. At least I get 5 minutes a day where I feel good. And that's the payoff in and of itself. Anything else is gravy.
Yeah. So you just before we started the podcast, you were telling about all the hundreds of reviews of Amazon you've been getting for your book. Just to finish things up here, can you tell us any sort of stories just to inspire people to take action?
Yeah, well, it's actually funny. Like, I interviewed somebody on my YouTube channel. She came back. She basically used the methods for 90 days. And when she started, like, she thought she was going to be out of her job because her sales were plummeting. And you could tell she's a really charismatic person, so it makes no sense why she wouldn't do well in sales. But now she's at a point where basically 100,000 in sales guaranteed every single month. And basically, like, she used that. Another person, he got a girlfriend for the first time. He never thought he'd be happy. He never thought someone would understand him. I'm actually waiting to interview him. I'm trying to schedule that. But other ones, it's kind of funny because I'm hesitant to share too many details. Like, the craziest stuff is the stuff I can't share. Like, people getting themselves out of abusive relationships, people, like, you know, finally making a shift over, like, a horrible thing that happened in their life. But for the most part, everyone is coming at this and getting something out of it in their own way, whether it's money, whether it's love, whether it's an extra 20 grand or an extra 100 grand, it doesn't really matter. Everyone's bringing something to it. And for me, it's very humbling, and it's a lot to actually like realize that, like, I'm not the reason, but the book became their excuse. Like, all this book is an excuse for someone to give themselves permission to do this. And that's the really cool thing. And I'll try to feature more like on the YouTube channel, but yeah, for the most part, the 100,000 thing was great because it is physical, and people like say that that's why they don't like The Secret, but it's so obvious. Mm-hmm. I love the ones that are obvious because the tangible stuff is really a great flag of what the intangible, like a lot of people are just waking up happier and more fulfilled.
Are there any themes that you've noticed through the people that have shared some of their transformational stories? I'm really a little bit obsessed about this. Like when we get people that achieve massive body transformations with us, but not only achieve them, they keep them pretty much fairly stabilized for like another year, two, three, or just forever. I'm always intrigued. What was that thing that started it? Typically, for us, I don't know about you. You can tell us in a second. There's a massive shift in their life that happened at the time. Maybe a big pain point, But you generally, it got to the level of frustration. The frustration is probably the key word. Where they've had enough. It's like, I'm ready. Or the doctors basically gave them an ultimatum and said, look, if you don't change now, things aren't good. But have you seen any themes with people that have implemented this and achieved great things?
Well, the theme is basically the people that are achieving, they finally expect it. They've built up a level of certainty. Now, here's the key point I want to make, because then all of a sudden people are like, well, how do I get this certainty? You're right. They reached a point in their life where like there was a huge red flag, a huge indicator, like, listen, you've got to do something. I've got to do something, right? And so they just did something every day. So basically, by virtue of the fact that they literally spent 5 minutes a day, that confidence came naturally because results came steadily. Like some people, the theme is, like there was no theme. That some people got a spike in results, some people it was more slow going, but all of them were able to observe that things were changing. And all of them, the pain of what they were running away from was so fresh that they were inspired and motivated enough to keep doing the methods. See, the problem is some people, they'll do the methods, and this was my problem before things really went bad for me. I'd get a little bit of a good result, but life wasn't so bad that I was motivated to keep it up. So I would stop and it would go away. But when life finally was really bad enough that I was stubborn and indignant, and I didn't care when or how it happened, by the way, I didn't care. I just knew I was like, something's got to be different. Mm. When they're coming from that place, they're way more motivated to stick with it. But people need to know if they're not at that place, they can do it. All they got to do is find something that they like so that it doesn't feel like an obligation. And it's much easier for them to keep a daily routine.
Yeah, the thing that just hit me in my mind is, and it's something I've been thinking about loads lately. I think, I don't know, I'd call it the happiness myth, this idea that we're meant to be happy all the time. And, we've just talked about how many people have transformed their lives through being, let's face it, pretty unhappy and frustrated. And I think actually, sometimes you need that. It's that whole yin and yang thing, right? We can't, to get to that element of happiness or fulfillment, I think it's Tony Robbins that said, success isn't success without fulfillment, or happiness without fulfillment. We need that fulfillment factor. Fulfillment and happiness aren't generally the same thing. Right. And if you're listening to this, if you're in a bad place, rather than allow that energy to kind of bring you down further, use that frustration to move you forwards. Use some of these strategies that Andrew's sharing, buy his book and implement them, and and expect it as well. Expect to have bad days. That's life, right?
Yeah, it's part of the journey. I mean, one of the most dangerous sentences in the world always begins with "I'll be happy when," because you're basically reaffirming that it's not going to happen. Because trust me, when you get what you want or you think you want, there'll be something else anyway. And I really appreciate what you brought up in the sense like, I don't think we don't want to tell people like, hey, it's going to be okay and feel better right now. It's like, listen, I can't tell you how to feel. All I could tell you is, like you said, there's going to be bad days, but Like for me, this is about strategy. What can I strategically do, whether I'm working on my fitness or my health or my love life or my business or whatever? Here I am in this moment, in this life, with my circumstances being what they are. And I want to change them or improve them in some way. What can I do strategically in the face of everything? Whether there's a lockdown, whether there's a job loss, whether there's I'm not going to say that those things aren't bad, but what can I do strategically? And what you can do strategically is put yourself in habit, whether it's fitness or whether it's law of attraction, whatever else, put yourself in a habit with methods or routines or exercises or whatever else that have been demonstrated to work for other people in the past and probably even began to work for you before you stopped them. So you know something works? Just care enough about yourself to keep doing it, regardless of how quick or how slow the improvement comes. Because sometimes that improvement you've been waiting for, another even bigger life improvement sneaks in the back door. And like, you didn't even realize it happened. You know, you're so worried about the money, you don't realize you found the man or woman of your dreams while you were like fighting so hard for it. Like there are things that'll happen. You don't even see them coming because you're so worried about that money, or vice versa. You're so worried about the man or woman of your dreams, you don't realize that you just built the perfect house for them. And now they can come into your life because they needed a home. Like you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think self-awareness, a topic that always comes up in this podcast is the topic of self-awareness and when things are getting a bit tough, you know, having the self-awareness to think about it and learn from it and just observe it for what it is, really, and understand that, you know, I think it's Rob Moore, a guy I follow, you know, basically says success is just, you know, solving problems so that you can solve bigger problems.
Yes.
And I think
pretty much.
Listen, yeah. I've loved having you on the podcast, Andrew. Have you got any last words? I'd love to know, or if you could share with our listeners where they can find your book and, you know, where they can find out more about you and your YouTube channel and anything else you want to share.
Yeah, sure thing. Well, you know, if you want to check out the book, it's available on Amazon and Audible. You just go to lastlawofattractionbook.com and that'll forward you there. If you don't want to pull out your wallet, you can get free content. You can go to my YouTube channel. It's just youtube.com/AndrewCap with a K. My channel is just Andrew Cap, and I'm putting out new videos every single week. The only thing I want to leave you guys with, well, first of all, thank you to you, Matt. It's clear by the level of questions that you're asking that you're really in this for your audience. And I guess I would encourage your audience, I mean, they're already hearing this episode, so they don't need to be told to hear this episode. I would encourage your audience to keep listening to what you're doing, and anyone that's working with you to keep working, because there's a process and a method. And I think anyone listening right now, the fact that you were listening, trying to improve your life, says something about you that oftentimes you disregard. This is you are doing something that a lot of people aren't doing. So give yourself the credit and congratulate yourself on caring enough to try to improve your life to even go in that direction, because that is the key that most people never even think to do. And most people doing it never think to appreciate in themselves. You guys listening right now, you are more awesome than you will ever begin to imagine, no matter what anyone's told you, no matter what you've told you. So stick with Matt. He obviously knows what he's doing. And Matt, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, that's fantastic. And yeah, I really appreciate those kind words, Andrew. So once again, thank you, Andrew. Guys, we'll put the links all in the show notes so you can find Andrew's book and you can actually start implementing the law of attraction in your own life. I want you to email me and tell me your stories, or let Andrew know once you start putting this into your life. I'm going to definitely start implementing more of this in my own life as well. And once again, thank you, Andrew.